This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, once again, we have another special guest from far, far away. Who are we speaking to today?
Yes, today our guest is joining us from Saudi Arabia from the airport. You may be able to detect some background noise there, but our guest is none other than Mohammed Khatani. Mohammed graduated from Arizona State University with a degree in computer science. He currently works as a security software analyst for an oil company, and he's the father of two children, a 10-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy. Mohammed loves acting, stand-up comedy, and of course, public speaking. He's a member of North Point Toastmasters in District 79, and as of August 15th of 2015, he is the 2015 World Champion of Public Speaking. I'm sure that never gets old hearing that. Mohammed Khatani, congratulations, yeah. Of course, and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me. A small correction before we go any further. The club name is North Park. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm really honored to be in the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Greg and I are excited to speak with you. We've both had the opportunity to watch your speech, The Power of Words, and it certainly is a powerful message and powerful delivery. Mohammed, especially in consideration of our listeners who have not heard your speech, can you share a little bit about the theme and why you chose it?
The theme of the speech talks about that with a simple choice of words, you can actually uplift someone's spirit or completely destroy someone's life. And even though that sounds a bit far-fetched, but it's actually true. And throughout the speech, I'm giving examples of how a simple choice of word or how if word chosen in the right place can make a difference. And if it's chosen in the wrong place, can end up even just destroying someone's life. Yeah, that's the theme of the speech.
What was the moment that you decided that this was the message that we were going to bring? Or how did you come up with the idea originally?
A lot of people actually ask me, like, I want to write a speech, but I don't know what to talk about. Usually, like, everybody wants to talk about something, but I mean, like, anything that you want to talk about has already been spoken by someone else. And you want to pick something that's kind of new and it's unique and it's haven't been actually spoken about before. The idea of the speech actually happened while I was with a friend of mine, and like we were taking a break from work. We were outside and he was smoking, and I had this other friend who walks by and he started to say, "Why you guys smoking? It's bad for your health and blah, blah, blah." And my friend with a straight face, he started to give him all these like facts about that smoking is not really that bad. And I was shocked too, because I didn't know any of these facts. The other friend, he got convinced and he said, wow, I didn't know that. I'm sorry, guys. And as soon as he left, I looked at my smoking friends and I said, wow, I really didn't know all of that. He said, yeah, I just made that up. You know? But the fact that he gave it with a straight face just made me think that, wow, I mean, just by the way that I can say something, I can actually change the perspective of something that people actually took for granted, you know? And then it dawned on me, like, all these things that's happening around us. For example, when we're dealing with, like, our kids, I have this, like, old man who actually said to me once, he said, if you keep telling your son that he's stupid, that he's an idiot, that he's no good, how do you expect him to grow up to be a rocket scientist? And that's actually true. I mean, the words that we feed our children from a young age can make a difference with, like, whether that he can believe he can achieve the impossible, or he thinks that he's no good and he should waste his life in some drugs or like anything like that. And it all boils down to the way that he was actually raised. And a lot of parents says, how come my child ended up like that? Well, I'm sorry to break it up to you, but it's basically your fault. If you have instated his self-confidence from the beginning, he would have been growing up to be something amazing.
Yeah. I just want to hark back and comment on what you mentioned earlier, Mohammed, about that example of the smoking with your coworker. I think that's just a great example for all of us of taking things from everyday life. I mean, 1,000 other people could have been in that same situation standing next to your friend and not had that light bulb go off that this would make a great gag in a speech or a great message in a speech.
Yeah.
Definitely something to be said for keeping your eyes open along the way.
Every part in your life is a lesson that you can say something about. You just need to keep an eye open.
Definitely. Yes. Mohammed, I'm curious to know, do you have a theory? Obviously, the judging, the ballots are kept secret and probably destroyed afterward. But do you have an idea or a theory as to why you stacked against many other incredible speakers and speeches that same day? What do you think made the difference in why you won the world championship with your speech?
To be completely honest with you, like ever since I won, what I asked myself the same question. I said, why did I win? Because I was the last speaker and I sat in the back room watching every other speaker goes on the stage. And in my mind, I said, there is no way that I'm going to win. I mean, everybody has a, which is actually true. I mean, like everybody has a stronger message, a deeper message. But I think that what I played on that a lot of people may have actually just missed on is the balance between the humor and the drama. A lot of people, it's either he gives like entire speech where he cracks people up, or he gives an entire speech where he puts people down. When you find the balance, and I think that's what I did really well, is I start with the humor, then I gave a dramatic story. The other thing that I think that might have just put me in favor of the winning was you always have to leave your audience on a hope that there is something that they can do. And that's what I ended up with my speech. I said, you have the power using your words. And it was beautiful when I spoke to Toastmasters, because that's the passion of everybody who was there in the hall. You have the power using your words to change someone's life. So I kind of gave the audience the hope that, yes, you can make this world a beautiful place. I mean, and it did, and it will not take much of you, but just to choose the right words. So, start with a humor, with energizing, then go into the dramatic story, then end up with giving your audience hope. You do not want to leave your audience down.
I think you brought up a good point when you mentioned balance, because quite often, I know right now in our district, this time of year, we have the humorous speech competitions. Yes. I mean, obviously your message was very important. Your message was very serious. You always wonder if someone has too much humor, or if it's not put in the right place, that it may overpower the actual message that you want to get across?
Exactly. For a lot of people, humor comes naturally. For others, they kind of have to learn it. There is a lot of people who think, you know what, I will never win unless I make people laugh. I don't agree with that statement, but there is a lot of speakers who actually think that. They think the only way that they can entertain their audience is by cracking the joke. If humor is not your trait, then you don't have to overchange your speech in a way just to crack people up. You can always use the story message. You can always use devices. Any of these devices can still engage the audience. But if humor is easier for you, I always tell everybody who asks me for advice, work on what you are strong at. If humor is your strength, use it. If not, don't overtry. Just look at what you can do best, and that could be your key.
Well, Dr. Ralph Smedley said we learn best in times of enjoyment, so I guess laughing a little bit is enjoyment.
Of course.
You seem fairly natural. Were you always a confident speaker?
Actually, I was not. I grew up with a stuttering problem. I was an isolated child. I did not have any friends. I even avoided speaking to my own family members. That's my regret from the beginning because, when you're faced with hard choices in life, you can either choose the hard road and just tackle your problems, or you can say, you know what, I'll avoid it and just live in isolation, and maybe I don't have to face that problem now. And that's what I did for almost my entire childhood. It wasn't until later in high school that I started to say, you know what, the only way I can beat this stuttering is to face my fear. That's when I gradually started, but kind of flourished when I joined Toastmasters, because I discovered, as a child, every time I speak, people will still just laugh at me and just make jokes. But when I joined Toastmasters, I just figured out that humor is a strong trait of mine. And I said to myself, if people are going to laugh anyways, they might as well laugh with me and not laugh at me.
Makes sense.
And speaking of humor, Muhammad, I know you have an interest, as we said in your introduction, in stand-up comedy as well as acting.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about the role of both stand-up comedy and acting and how they've helped prepare you to be a more confident, better speaker?
I went to college in Arizona State, and I used to go to a lot of comedy clubs and just watch the stand-up comedy on stage. And I always just look at the humor, and everybody draws humor from everyday life. I mean, they're not making stuff up, but they kind of take an incident and kind of exaggerate it in a way that you make it actually funny. And I said to myself, well, maybe I can do that too. acting, I had a passion of acting ever since I was a child, but I never pursued it because of my fear of talking to people. But I started to pursue it ever since I came back here. I joined a theater group, and I think acting kind of helped me in stage movement and facial expressions. I mean, a lot of people, they actually said, when you start your speech and you said what, that was like closing the deal. And everybody said, you know what, as soon as you said that, we said he's going to win. And I think that kind of attributes to my like acting. You get to learn how to use your face and how to use your eyes and how to become someone else on, I mean, like on the stage and be comfortable with it.
Right, definitely. Yeah, the facial expressions, just when you said the word what right now, I can picture exactly what your face looked like in that moment.
I just about laughed myself. In fact, I was thinking, I went back this morning and I looked at your district speech.
Yeah.
Change your seat.
Yes.
And I think in that particular speech, you used a lot of facial expressions, a lot of gestures,
yeah.
And I could picture myself there on the plane.
That's actually the speech I used in the semifinals, which kind of qualified me to the finals. And I think I worked a lot harder on that speech than The Power of Words.
Interesting.
Maybe share a little bit about that one.
Change your seat. I mean, like, again, you draw humor from everyday life. So I was competing this year in the district humorous category, and I used that speech, which is change your seat, and I was able to win the district championship in humorous this year. I placed second on the international, but I won the championship in the humorous. Even though I placed second place, but then the first place like winner, he dropped out and I got a chance, I knew that I had to have two speeches in the finals. Now, I know that The Power of Words is a good speech. I can like rely on that, but I needed a second one. And I kind of started to look at, through all my old speeches that I gave either in club contest or even like in the previous years and try to like to pick what speech can I use. But like none of them was in my mind like strong enough that can qualify me to actually win. And then I received a phone call from a friend, and she said, I would like to congratulate you in winning the championship with your speech, you know, change your seat. And I said, well, that's not the speech I'm going to use to compete on. And she said, why? I mean, it's a beautiful speech. I said, yeah, but it's a humor speech. And she said, yeah, but it has a strong message. You can use that. And that's when, again, a light bulb pops in my head. You know what? I can tweak it around and make it, you know, a speech that's worthy of international contest.
Mm. I did find it on YouTube somewhere, your original district speech, and you certainly fine-tuned it and practiced it a lot.
Tell us a little bit, Mohammed, about the preparation process of competing, of rehearsing your speech. Did you maybe work with a coach or mentor along the way? I'd love to hear more about that.
Like, I worked with a mentor when I was, until I reached to the district level. In the international speech contest, I was competing with the speech, The Power of Words, and I got second place. And to be honest, I was quite happy because I said to myself, I used to think that I'm only good with humor. Apparently, I can do like international speeches as well. But then like 2 weeks before the finals in Vegas, the first place winner, he called me. He said he had a family emergency and he cannot make it and asked if I can take his place. I only had 2 weeks to actually like, prepare. The speech, The Power of Words, that I use in the district, it's also available on YouTube. And if you look at it, it's completely different than the one that I used in the finals. Because how do you take a speech that won second place in the district and turn it to win the championship internationally? For like an entire 2 weeks, I used to go to a Toastmaster club every single day. And I gave that speech over and over again. And I asked everybody to evaluate me. I mean, like on a piece of paper. And then I got all these pieces of paper and I looked at what are the common things, what everybody agrees on was good. You see, when we actually ask for evaluation, a lot of people only focus on the areas of improvement. What can I improve on? No, focus on also what your strengths are, because if you are really strong at something, then you keep it. You cannot change that line or you cannot change that part of your speech. So everybody loved the scientist and everybody loved the child who writes in the wall. So I said to myself, you know what? Okay, these two stories will stay, you know? The Nasser story was kind of different than the one that I used in the district. I tweaked a lot of it because I got a lot of comments that there was a line in that speech which I thought to myself was the best line I've ever like written. I thought it was the most beautiful thing that I've ever written in my life. But then I got a lot of comments that it's either not clear or I'm saying it too fast or maybe the audience will not understand it. And even though that I was happy with that line, usually a speaker only worries about himself. I mean, like, how do I look? How do I sound? What's my, I mean, like, words? The last thing we worry about is the audience. Your audience should be your number one concern. So I said to myself, if the majority of people do not like that line, even though I love that line, then I'm taking it out. I took that line out, even though I was, like, really happy with it. But I took the line out, and I kind of changed it, tweaked it, and that's how it works in the panels.
So now I'm curious, what was the line, and what did you change it to?
The line was when I'm, when I was talking about Nasser, and then I said, and the machine went beep, beep, beep. The original line was like this. And doctors try to bring him back to life. Clear, boom. You can't give life to someone who doesn't want it. Clear, boom. You can't fix what's been broken by despair. Clear, boom. You can't heal a heart that's been crushed by I'm busy. So that was the original line. And I thought it was, like, really intense and it was really strong. And the way I gave it was really beautiful. But then a lot of people said, you gave that line too quick that people do not actually carry on. Slow it down. I slowed it down. It did not sound good. That's when I tweaked it around to the final line, which is clear, boom, three times, and said, it's clear that a single word could have saved this life. And I kind of attribute that line to, like, Mr. like Randy Harvey, because he kind of coached me a half an hour before my final speech. And he said, maybe you could use this line. So he kind of gave me the idea of the line, and I would like to thank him for that.
Wow.
That a half an hour, was that before the final speech? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Like, exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, which was actually just risky because a lot of people said, do not make, like, changes in the last
minute. Right.
And like, even after he kind of gave me a lot of comments, which I actually obliged to all of them. And when we're done, and I was walking back to the hall so we can start the contest, and he said, you know what? I don't know how much you can just squeeze it in there because I hate people who change speeches in the last minute. But if you can, then maybe it will work.
No pressure.
Like, yeah, it's like, no pressure if you can. But I was able to do it.
Wow.
Wow. I have trouble with a week ahead of time.
I mean, I had a thought in my mind when I was, like, backstage. Do I still say the old line or do I? Because, again, when you're changing your speech at the last minute, you might not have the line down as you wanted to. I took a shot and it worked.
In your mind, you come to a fork in the road and you go, okay, which way am I supposed to go? And that's what happened to
exactly.
me at District, and I lost my place.
Oh, wow.
This whole experience obviously has had some impact on your life. How has it changed things?
To be honest, I've never been in the international convention, I mean, before. This was my first time. So, again, even though I wasn't the first place in the district, I came in second place. My only intention when I reached the finals is just to have fun, to entertain people, to kind of, like, represent my people and the country that I'm with, like, in a really good way. And I never thought, not even, like, 1% that I'm going to win. Winning wasn't even in my head. And when we did the semifinals and I won, and I said, oh my God, this is real. I mean, I'm on the international, you know. I was the last speaker, and I sat backstage and I'm watching people. I watched the first speaker. I mean, he went on stage and he just blew my mind. And then the second speaker comes in and he blew my mind even more. So I said to myself, you know what? There's no way I'm going to win. At that moment, I said, there's no way I'm going to win. And I do remember we were, like, 8 speakers backstage and everybody kind of, like, walking around, kind of, like, rehearsing his lines or whatever. I just sat there with my phone in my hand, just playing games and texting my friends and saying hi. And I didn't even bother to rehearse. Not just because I didn't respect my audience. No. But, again, I mean, why? I mean, I didn't want to put any pressure on myself. And then when I walked into the stage to give my speech and I saw 3,000 people, before I even started my speech, I said to myself, this is it. This is my dream coming true. I don't want to win. I don't care if I win. If I get a chance to give a message to 3,000 people and thousands more watching online, then I've won. I mean, that's all I want, you know? And I wasn't nervous at all. I mean, my whole intention was just entertain. You have thousands of people, just entertain, give that message and leave. Don't think about winning. Maybe you'll win next year or the year after. But somehow I kind of won. And I'm sorry if this answer has taken, like, a really long time. But again, just because I wasn't prepared for the winning. I mean, even until now, I didn't have a plan. I don't know what to do with it. I get calls from everywhere in the world, just we would like to host you, whatever. And I'm trying to oblige to everybody, but I really did not think this through. And I'm trying to adopt this new life, and it's been kind of hectic on myself and my family and my work. But if I can just change someone's life by something that I say, then it's worth than 1,000 trophies.
Wow, wonderful.
Inspiring, to say the least. Do you agree, Greg?
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. So obviously this has impacted your life, and we're going to see probably things changing probably more for you.
Just pray for me. Just pray that I can just power through this and without any problems.
It's no problem. Just change your seat.
Exactly. Just change my seat. Yeah.
I still kill myself laughing. I listened to both of them probably at least a half a dozen times, and I think I chuckle each and every time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, Mohammed, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to come and share with us and with our entire listening audience. Congratulations again, and we look forward to more good things to come from Mr. Mohammed Qahtani.
Thank you so much, guys, for hosting me, and I'm sorry about the background noises, but anything you guys need, or if anybody has any questions, whatever, I'm more than happy to help, more than happy to answer. And that's actually the really beautiful spirit about a Toastmasters. At the end, we're only just one family. And I kind of noticed that in the contest when we were backstage, and there was one of the speakers who had a mic problem. And usually, if it was any other contest, everybody would be happy because he's going to lose. But all of us backstage, we rushed to the people in charge of the sound and said, you have to fix this. We want everybody in Toastmasters to succeed and do the best they can.
Great. Great little vignette.
So what is the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Well, I can be reached on Facebook, on Twitter, and send me an email. My email is already in Toastmasters International. And, I would do ask everybody to be patient because... there's a lot of messages, and I'm the least organized person on earth. So any time, I really do want to help everybody as much as I can.
That's excellent. Now, for those of you who want to see the winning speech, in fact, if you want to catch the entire conference, you can still subscribe to Toastmasters On Demand. Just go to ToastmastersOnDemand.com. For $99 US, you can experience the entire convention.
Well, once again, thank you so much, Mohammed. We appreciate you joining us today and truly wish you the best.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been an honor for me to be with you guys.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you very much, Mohammed.
Thank you so much, sir.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.